This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in the NFL, Week 12. You haven't missed a week yet. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Cowboy, joined as always by the man, the myth, the legend, the straw that stirs the drink around here, Mr. John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Cowboy, right out the gate, I have to apologize. Last week there were some sound issues. I didn't realize my Jade notes were rubbing up against my nuts or something, creating some fucked up background noise. I apologize.
I thought it was either that or potato chips, one or the other, but this makes all the sense in the world. The Jade, the nuts, absolutely.
I gave up the potato chips, and that only left one thing. Yeah, I have old school paper Jade notes for my expert scouting tips on my expert shitty picks. So I apologize to our loyal listeners. We're going to keep it more professional in the future. It won't happen again. But good to be here, Raj. And also, I just want to bring up one thing. I forgot to ask you last week. How did the Riders debut at the big Carson Circle game a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you about that. He was he was a superstar. Our team won. So we won the annual game 15-8, I believe.
It was nice.
We weren't sure if we were going to have a quarterback. I had to play quarterback, and to my surprise, I played halfway decent. We kept it more of a West Coast offense. Hit a couple of deep shots, but for the most part, kept it within 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Ryder had a touchdown and maybe 7 or 8 catches, and I, as someone my age will happen to. I played quarterback for the first 10 touchdowns or so, and then another guy asked to play quarterback. So I checked in at receiver. About my third route, I did a little stop and go home run, and I really opened it up on the fly pattern piece of it, and twisted my knee and had to go back in and play quarterback for the rest of the game. But, no, we had a great time, and Ryder did great, and another one of our buddies, his son, played, who also did great. So it was good having the kids out there, and great game.
Yeah, it's a great. You guys keep the tradition for the listener don't know. Mr. Rosero and his crew, they usually have the game. It's usually after the Thanksgiving, but this year the King of Rhode Island, I believe, is going to be away during the Thanksgiving, so you guys had it earlier, and I played in one game, one career touchdown, and I think I retired. A senior has played in the game. Scotty, a boy, has played, so a lot of the place to be crew. Everybody's familiar.
Absolutely,
with
it. If memory serves, John, you got that touchdown with me on you. I believe I gave up that touchdown.
Well, I was going to mention that. I'm just happy that I got one in. I didn't embarrass myself.
I'm more Marcus Peters on the Rams than Marcus Peters on the Ravens.
All right. So, Raj, as you said, no bye weeks, and that's a good segue, because this week is the last week that after this, no more bye weeks for the NFL
this
in general.
This is true. This is true. And yet you have a couple of contenders on bye this week, the Chiefs and the Vikings, and then a couple of non-contenders, and the Cardinals and the Chargers. So we're recording this on Friday at about noon. So we already have the result from a very important Thursday night game with the Colts and Texans battling for first place, and the Texans come away with a 20-17 win. Wasn't the most exciting game in the world. Takeaways are that the Colts probably should cover DeAndre Hopkins. That's always a good idea, and that neither one of these teams are probably going to be too big of a threat. Come January. What do you think, John?
I think it was definitely a huge win for the Texans, because the week before they got dusted. It was a typical come up small in a big game, a typical Bill O'Brien game that would, for those detractors. He's had a lot of those games in the past where they just don't show up, 41-7.
What John's referring to, week 11,
Ravens, yeah,
at Baltimore.
Yeah.
Really, the game was kind of the game of the week. And to your point, John, just a complete shellacking, just a blowout of epic potential. Should have been a shutout, really.
I don't understand the game plan. It was like Watson, every pass was like 20, 30 yards downfield. At least try to dink and nook. He's got a couple good tight ends. He's got underneath the receivers.
Yep.
Hyde's good out of the backfield.
Those things, man. It seemed like it just snowballed. And that offense really misses Will Fuller. And I mean, he's hurt all the time. But when he plays, like you saw last night, he really opens things up for the whole offense because he stretches the field and gives Hopkins room to work. And without him, they just don't have that. I mean, Kenny Stills is a homeless man's version of that who doesn't really get it done.
This was an example where it was a perfect time for a Thursday night game. Usually it's a disadvantage to most teams, but I think here it was Texans. They could just brush that Ravens game off right away, and they got right back in it, and they got the huge win. And that's usually how it goes with the Colts and Texans. They usually wind up splitting, and the Colts took the first one, and the Texans pulled this one out. They deserved it. They had over 100 yards more overall than the Colts. But still, it came down to a couple big plays. That big fourth down where Brissett got stopped
at about half yard short.
That was a great play by the linebacker.
And then T.Y. Hilton with a couple of really big drops.
Yeah,
he's coming off an injury. He historically just owns Houston. Like if you look at his career numbers against Houston, they're incredible. And he just very very good player. A couple of bad plays.
Yeah, they weren't blatant, but it was a couple that he usually comes up with. But with all that, looking ahead, the Texans next week got your boys, the Patriots, and the Colts with Tennessee. They could both be 7-5 after next week
potentially,
and it'll be down to the last 4 weeks.
The Patriots are playing me and you at receiver at this point, but we'll get to that. So, all right, so we have that. That was our first Week 12 game. Taking a look back at Week 11, John, because we recorded on Wednesday, right? Did we didn't talk about the Myles Garrett thing.
No, we might as well.
So let's talk about it, John. So even in victory, you still somehow jinx the Browns. So great pick. You pick the Browns every week. They came through. They won the game easy. Pittsburgh didn't look like an NFL offense. Mason Rudolph, very, very bad in that game. And the Browns did just enough. Your boy Odell, nice catch right at the beginning. Didn't get into the end zone. That was about it for him, but they didn't need him. 21-7. But as everybody saw, on essentially the last play of the game, Myles Garrett hits Rudolph after he throws the ball. I mean, the hit didn't jar a flag, but Rudolph took exception to it. Rudolph did a little yanking on Myles Garrett's helmet. Myles Garrett then just proceeded to just lose his mind, rip Rudolph's helmet off, and hit him with it in the head. Craziness ensues. You have the Marquise Pouncey jumped Myles Garrett. You know, Marquise Pouncey, as you know, a famous friend of Aaron Hernandez, to show you. Kind of give you an idea of where his head's at. But it was just a real ugly, ugly scene. And then the hot takes about it over the next week have just been brutal. Garrett suspended for the whole season, which is probably justified. I thought the punishments were all fine. He's a hell of a player, really great player. But, I mean, that's a really freaking stupid thing to do. And then... his defense, he claimed that Mason Rudolph said some racial stuff. The NFL found that inconclusive. I can't pass judgment on that either way, but it's just a real ugly situation for the NFL that, you know, that kind of makes even uglier. And, what was your takeaway there, John, from that whole situation?
Where to start? There's so many, first of all, the Browns finally a great win at home over their longtime rivals, Pittsburgh, who's beaten them besides the one tie. And otherwise, I think it was like 7-0-1 in the last eight. So they finally got that monkey off their back, beaten it, and they beat them down, totally dominated both sides of the ball. A beautiful victory. And maybe you could have the Browns thinking, hey, we could go 9-7 and catch that wild card, get their fans a little hope. But then that, you know, a stupid play like that just brings them all down. It felt like a loss after that. That's number one. And number two, I think the Pouncey, I'm glad it got cut down to two. I would like to see him get cut down to one. He was defending his quarterback. The kick is horrible, though. That's, you know, if he would have just defended him, you know, jumping on him, throwing a couple punches, he would have got a fine. Yeah, the kick looks real bad, but you can't really blame him. He comes to the defense of his quarterback. So I'm kind of glad it got down to 3-2. I would even like to see it get down to one. It was just a method he went about, protecting his quarterback was a little horrible. And number three, as far as the racial allegations, that sticks in me a little bit, because don't you think that somebody on one of Rudolph's teammates would have been offended too? So
you'd think so.
That's a little rough. And also none of the other Browns players corroborated it. Although in the trenches there's only, you know, in the world there's only two guys that can hear what's going on. But that one's a little rough. But I'm glad, like in the past, an incident like this would have like dominated the NFL and gave it a black mark for, like, you know, for 4 or 5 weeks. But it just seemed like it lasts a couple of days, and hopefully it'll die out. It won't be such a black mark, and then maybe Cleveland can move on. And another number four, another good thing was how Baker came out after the thing. He didn't like launch Garrett under the bus, but he did chastise him and said that's not what we're about. So maybe Baker takes a step up as a leader. He criticized his teammate, but without, you know, totally shitting on him or totally dismissing him, because they're going to need him eventually next year if he does get reinstated, if he's allowed to play next year. So that might be a little good thing for something to rally around, which is going to be hard, because you see a lot of Bengals Dolphins these last few weeks. So if they could halfway rally, they could still get to that 8-8, 9-7.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they did play a good game. Kareem Hunt, out of the frying pan and into the fire with guys with character issues here. But I think I said this last week, and it really proved out in that game. He's really helped that offense a lot more than I thought he would. Like, just having that, I mean, he's still pretty dynamic. He's very dynamic. Like, he really should probably be a feature back somewhere. But just having him available to Baker as a pass catcher out of the backfield seems to have been a huge help for them.
Yeah, he's special.
He is. But Chubb is special as well. He's just not like a great receiving back. So I think Baker, with the kind of, you know, the kind of year he's had, like having, you know, being able to check down to somebody is helpful for him. Yeah, so they move on. We have the Browns. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati this week.
I'm going to say it, Roger. I'm going to say it before you even start. I'm saying it. Upset special. Bengals get their first.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Pittsburgh's got, I mean, their whole offense is hurt. Like, Connor and Juju Smith-Schuster are both not playing.
I think
Rudolph looked like a high school quarterback in that game.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. That incident kind of it hid the fact of a horrific game. Yeah, Rudolph did not look like a competitive NFL quarterback. It looks like he took a couple steps back, and that incident kind of overshadowed his horrific performance. So without without Pouncey, and they're down to I think they're going to call Ryder for a running back tryout. they're down to that. I think this is a spot where Cincy could get their first one.
I know, man. Finley really hasn't been very good. Like, I mean, this game's got 10-7 written all over it. But it's very possible that 10 could be Cincinnati.
From what little I've seen, your scouting report on Finley was kudos to you. Was right on. He's not a player. They're going to be in that quarterback hunt.
Oh man, I mean, I think they put him in to kind of just ensure that they get the number one. He's like one of the. I don't know if you remember a guy named Ryan Lindley. He used to play. He played for
Arizona. Yeah,
but he was probably the worst quarterback I've ever seen. Like, if
they
somebody
got playing them for a playoff game, right?
Yeah, and they got killed. I mean, he was probably the worst quarterback I've ever seen on an NFL field. And Finley is a similar guy, right? In that usually, like with rookies or guys that are not good quarterbacks, it's one of two things. You have like the Cody Kessler, who just throws the ball 3 yards. you know, he's not terribly inaccurate or anything, but just doesn't throw the ball more than 10 yards downfield. Or you get a guy, you know, like a Tyler Thigpen or somebody like that who really pushes the ball downfield and makes a lot of mistakes. Very rarely do you get the Ryan Lindley, Ryan Finley guys who throw the ball within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage but are extremely inaccurate. It's, I mean, Finley, I believe, is under 50% passing. And I mean, I've watched the games. I swear he's only thrown three passes that have gone more than 10 yards. Like, couldn't one of us go out there and do that? Couldn't I, like, miss, couldn't I miss check downs and miss 5 yard outs?
And another reason I'm going this way because they play each other again the week after. It's a big trap game, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, the big grudge game. So I think Steelers might be looking ahead to a little.
It's true. The Steelers, I mean, it's just they're like one of those teams right now. I think they can. They have a good defense, and if they can get that running game going and keep the ball out of Rudolph's hands, like they're like one of those teams that's sort of capable of beating anybody, but they can lose to literally anybody. Like, I mean, I think the Cincinnati upset pick is a viable pick this week, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with Cincinnati. But Joe Mixon might be the best offensive player on the field for either team. I guess you have that. So. And then Miami at Cleveland, as you mentioned. You know, the Dolphins have been playing better, but you know, you got to think that's a win for the Brownies. So, moving on to some more exciting stuff. What do you think of that? What do you think of the Kirk Cousins comeback? Down 20 to zip at halftime. Comes back and leads the Vikings to a win against Denver. Are you in the camp that what the hell are you doing down 20 to nothing at home against the Broncos? Or is this another sign that Cousins maybe, you know, following up the Dallas win in prime time? Now, this is a game you usually lose, right? You're down 20 to nothing at halftime. Doesn't matter if you're home or not. But, I mean, I thought he played really good in the second half. Is this another step in the Kirk Cousins, maybe we have to start really believing in him as a clutch guy. Maybe he's put that crap behind him. What do you think?
Yeah, especially without feeling, he did it. And stuff like this happens. You're taking a pointer for granted. And Denver, we've been saying it all year. Even though they're 3-7, they could easily be 7-3. And
Bills, very similar to the Bills.
Yeah, Denver's got a lot of talent, and they slept them, but that was quite a comeback. But even towards the end, once they took the lead, Denver drove down, and the Vikings defense had to fight off Brandon Allen.
Break there in the end zone. Yeah,
Denver may have stumbled onto a quarterback on Elway. It's only like his 13th try. Maybe stumbled into one here.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. You gotta think they're gonna give Drew Locke almost back. You gotta think they're gonna give him some reps at the end of the year here.
I haven't seen much of Locke, so we'll refrain from commenting, and we'll see what he's got.
But eventually. The Vikings now coming into the bye week, right? I mean, really, I mean, more than turn their season around. 8-3. I mean, you've always liked them personnel wise, and it was kind of Cousins holding them back. I mean, I think under the radar. I mean, I've been very impressed with him, especially the last couple of weeks and the way he bounced back early in the season. I think they're kind of they're a sneaky team in the NFC that they're going to be tough for anybody to beat in the playoffs. They are very well rounded, right? They have a good defense. Great running game. I mean, Dalvin Cook, you know, one of the two or three best backs in the league. Great receivers, good offensive line, and they get a quarterback who's not killing them. I think Cousins also, not just not killing him, but I mean, he's capable of like being in a shootout and stuff. It's not like he's a game manager, you know. I think they're a sneaky pick to maybe come out of the NFC.
I want to see him. So far, all his success has been indoors or prime weather. I want to see him go into like Green Bay in 20 degrees or something like that. You know, a big road win in some tough weather. the big road wins he had were like in Dallas indoors and stuff. So I want to see how he does. That's the only thing I'm skeptical about. But other than that, all your points, I agree with. As far as the personnel, wide receiver, tight end, running back, stacked, offensive line, defensive line, you know, top 10 on each side of the ball. And solid coaching too. Zimmer may be a little conservative, but solid all around. So they're definitely a legit contender. But still, I got to see Cousins do it. You know, in a tough circumstance.
I like it. I like it. Agreed. Or things could break right for them, and he just won't have to do that. That's always possible too. There's only so many like tough outdoor places to play, right? So if you can avoid them, obviously, you know, they have the Packers, but you know, if the Cowboys win the division, no, I know. I mean, I'm thinking playoff wise. Yeah. If the Cowboys win the division, the Saints, and then the Niners, I mean, any one of those road games are not going to be, you know, the Ice Bowl. Or anything like that. So we'll see. We'll see. I just think things are setting up pretty good for him.
It's going to come down to that second to last game of the season at Green Bay, December 23rd.
Is it at Green Bay? I thought they already played at Green Bay.
Ah, yes. It's home. Yes. So the only tough one will be at Seattle.
Yep. Well, we will see. All right. What else we got here, John? Let's see. We... it's kind of a week full of blowouts in some ways, right?
Oh, the 1 o'clock games. Other than the Vikings that we spoke about, the 1 o'clock games were horrendous.
The Cowboys Lions, the Cowboys got it done. The Lions defense has like turned historically bad, but the Cowboys didn't look too easy for them.
How about the Cowboys defense letting Driscoll drizzle his way up and down the field? The Cowboys defense definitely taking a step back. And I see why. Van Dash is banged up. He's going to be out this week versus your boys.
Shaky performance by the Cowboys, I think, to say the least. And then the Pats, the game kind of went the way we talked. Pats at Philly. Real just defensive struggle. It was a little concerning as for the Patriots that they couldn't throw. Like you can really throw on Philly. Like you kind of knew coming into the game that you wouldn't be able to run on the Eagles, but you usually can throw on them, and they were having trouble. They are having trouble, and some of it's the banged up receiving core, you know, maybe a little bit of the weather, but it was not a banner performance by the offense, and you could hear and see the frustration in Brady in the post game press conference. I mean, you could tell he's visibly frustrated with the offense. So with all that said, they're in a bit of a get-right spot here this week. I think the Cowboys, at least what they've shown me the last couple of weeks and kind of the season as a whole, and maybe even Jason Garrett's tenure as a whole, is this is a game that they lose. This is a game that they absolutely lose. That, you know, I bet that there's going to be some trendy, you know, maybe a trendy pick or two saying the Cowboys are going to come in and yada yada and beat the Pats, but I think the Cowboys defense has been bad. Obviously, I think it's even without wide receivers. So the Patriots are going to have Edelman, and I think N'Keal Harry is probably going to end up being the two with Dorsett and Sanu injured. Gronk's not coming back, so it's a bit of a depleted weapons core for Brady. But even with all that, I think this is like a Sony Michel game where they can run on Dallas and they establish the run and then hit the passing later. And this is usually, I mean, I know they beat the Eagles, but this is kind of it was not very impressive. This is a spot where the Pats will usually bounce back and put up a 35 spot. And, you know, the Cowboys maybe get a couple of scores late, but I think it's like a double-digit win for the Patriots. I like what Dak's done, but I think he's a couple of mistakes, and this is the kind of a couple of mistakes a game, and this is the kind of defense that'll take advantage of those mistakes.
Yeah, and Zeke Elliott, I think for the first time in his career, last two games under 3 yards a carry. although he did make one of the touchdowns on the reception was like a play that only him and two others make. So
agreed,
still,
but he still doesn't really look like himself, and I blame the holdout. I know you say you're staying in shape, but I mean I don't think there's really anything, especially for his style. Where, I mean, his whole style is predicated on just being a battering ram, right? Where he's just, I mean, where it's not like he's like Antonio Brown on the outside, bare not taking a lot of hits, right? I mean, he's, if anybody in the NFL has to be in great shape, it's Zeke, and he still looks like he's not in prime shape. And I mean, I guess he could potentially round into shape as the playoffs get closer, but right now, I mean, you see, that would be their path to victory against the Patriots, is to try to just pound the rock and, you know, ball control. But I don't think they can do it. I don't think they can do it the way their running game has been.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Patriots. I think it's a get right game for Tom. He was upset. He was like, it looked like he had like lost. He was in the post game for the Eagles game, he was upset about how the offense performed. So I think it's a get right game for him and at home.
So John, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, the Van Der Esch. That's a big loss for the Cowboys.
Very,
I think they're
going
to take advantage. They can take advantage of that.
So John, let's play our weekly game. Lowest price ticket for Dallas at New England.
$275.
Very close. $246. So that's your high water mark for the week.
Lions and Redskins.
Low water mark. Detroit at Washington. $10. $10. And I actually saw $5. I don't even know if this website's right. I saw an article that said they were available for $5, which means that essentially, if you're willing to drive to the game, pay to park, get a hot dog and soda, they're just letting you in for free. For the most part, right?
I saw it. I have a friend. I have a Eagles fan friend who posted on Facebook because they're looking forward to when the Eagles play there in December, and they're looking forward to get in for a nice McGinn price.
let's talk about Detroit at Washington for a sec. I actually just want to talk about Washington and just one thing. I think they're my new. Like I had said, the Raiders were the most dysfunctional organization in the league, and I think that was false. They're playing better, obviously. Gruden has righted the ship there, but the new mantle has to go to the Redskins. Did you see the clip of Dwayne Haskins? I mean, he's trying to be a leader. I actually really liked what I saw from him there. He's talking to the line, to the lineman. What can I do? Because he's getting the living shit beat out of him on every play by. You know, what can I do to help you? And he's saying all the right stuff. And those guys won't even look at him. It's like those guys wanted to be like anywhere in the world but playing football that day. It was such an awful look. And I feel bad because that kid maybe has some talent and he's just going to be ruined playing for such a shit franchise.
Yeah, it's hard to judge. I'm not impressed by anything from what I see from him, but it's hard to judge when you got nothing around him. And you know, the whole disastrous Trent Williams situation, just one of the many things going on down there. You get half empty stadiums that they're chanting sell the team and everything. It's a disaster all around.
I know, and I mean the thing is, you know, these other bad teams, right? The Dolphins suck, but they're out there trying. You know, I mean they're out there 100% effort. And these linemen look like they'd rather be, you know, hanging out at the bar. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, we don't have to preview that game, but I just wanted to say that. So
that's the piss break game, Lions and Redskins.
Oh god, that's the ship break game. take your favorite book and spend 3 hours in the can so you don't have to watch a second of that garbage. The Lions probably win that game by 25 points in Washington with Jeff Driskel at quarterback. And then the Eagles. So the Eagles, winnable game that they let slip away. Nelson Aguilar's lack of hands like really came back to came to the forefront again. That guy, I mean, A lot of big drops in his career. A lot of big drops. And even like that last play where, I mean, that was the Patriots came with a zero jailbreak blitz. Wentz, I mean, just threw it up there. It was a great, great throw. And I mean, it wasn't an easy catch for Aguilar, but when your quarterback makes that throw, it's like you got to come down with that for him, right? And he looked like he just never even had a chance at it. It was awful.
Yeah, I understand. And stupid Eagle fans are like, they're really down on Wentz. And for him, yeah, he's got no weapons. Losing DeSean Jackson was a big that was a huge loss.
Yeah, and I mean, you could make the argument, like, what are they doing with DeSean Jackson, right? He's like 30-something years old. He's always had trouble staying healthy. You shouldn't be relying on him coming into the year. Maybe as like your third wide receiver. But Jeffrey is older now, and he's never been a burner, but he looks like he's running in mud these days. Aguilar can do everything but catch. I do like their running back, Miles Sanders, and Ertz, obviously. Ertz and Goddard is really the strength of the offense. But you really need something on the outside to open things up, and they just don't have it. And I'm with you, John. I think Wentz is a very good player. Hopefully they get so down on him that they get rid of him, and he can go somewhere else and be successful and make the Eagles fans, you know, feel like the idiots that they are.
Yeah, but with that, they have otherwise they have this Seattle game and Dallas, and they got the rest. They should be able to win. So if they could get this Seattle game, they'll be in good shape.
Real tough game. I know it's in Philly. Seattle coming in off a bye with what? I mean, I know they don't think they're not. You know, they don't really think about this. But with what Lamar Jackson's doing, I mean, the whole Russell Wilson's definitely the MVP thing. Like he needs to kind of keep one upping Jackson. So you'd expect them to come out all systems go in this game against an offense that you can pass on, even though the Patriots didn't show that. Another full 2 weeks of Josh Gordon acclimating himself to the offense. He looked good in his first game. We could really use him in New England. Not sure what you were doing there, guys, but we love you anyway. But that Seattle offense, I think, is all wrong for Philly. All wrong for him. I think Wilson has a big game, and it's going to be on Wentz to keep pace. Looks like no Jordan Howard. Jeffrey's probably going to play, but I know it's in Philly. But I actually really really like Seattle in this game. I just think stylistically, it's a bad bad matchup for the Eagles.
I'm just going to go with Philly, just because of the 1 o'clock start. And the home advantage, that's pretty much all I got to roll with. Maybe a little improved running game from Philly. And
you can run on Seattle. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, John. You can run on Seattle. Like, this game's not going to look anything like Patriots-Eagles. Like, this game's probably going to be 31-27 or something like that. It should be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, Seattle's been playing every game close, and this is just a hunch. I like Philly in this one.
All right, now, John, we talked a little bit about this via text, but I think we can we officially say the Panthers are dead, or is it after they lose to the Saints this week?
They're gone. I have to. I mushed old Kyle Allen.
Total.
I praised him. I praised him for his great drive, almost coming back versus the Packers. I'm like, okay, I could see him now. You know, this guy won me over, and you guys could get rid of Cam. But come on, that performance versus Atlanta. That was a rough one.
I think he just threw another interception in the red zone while you were talking right there, John.
that was tough. That was tough to watch.
Awful, awful. Oh, he was bad. He was bad. I mean, that was really like the D'Amato jinx in full effect. There, like, you've been laying it on Beckham all season. But I mean, literally, like you said, he had the drive. You said, we think this guy, you know, it looks like they've got a quarterback. No problem moving on from Cam. And boom, right away. Everybody's saying, well, it looks like Kyle Allen wasn't the answer. I mean, he's he went from the penthouse to the outhouse in 1 week, like nothing I've ever seen. So that's fabulous work by you there, John.
Impressive. Monday, they sent six specialists to Cam's house to do like foot massages and to try to rehab his foot. Now they're going to be back on kissing Cam's there, saying, "Please stay. Don't be mad at us."
It's a bad game, and it's a game they needed too. You know what I mean? Credit to the Falcons, who have finally decided to show up for the 2019 season. The last 2 weeks, they did play well again. Their defense has played real well 2 weeks in a row. But the Panthers was a real non-performance by them. I mean, that's a game they got to win, and it's real tough to envision them going into New Orleans this week and making it much of a game. But with the NFL, you never know. They could go in there and win.
Look at the schedule, it's like the two teams. Two New Orleans at Indy and Seattle. Even at Atlanta, they got to play Atlanta again. At Atlanta, that's going to be a tough
at Atlanta, game. They probably, what is that, 40-0? They lost 29-3 at home.
I don't think we should talk about the Panthers anymore. They're going to be a non-factor.
I agree. But it was a good run. McCaffrey is an amazing talent, and he was great in that game as well.
But it's interesting. The Falcons, the Quinn, as we mentioned, he turned the defense over to Raheem Morris, who was an ex-coach.
The Broncos coach.
And an ex-defensive specialist who he was before that. He was coaching wide receivers. Quinn decided all of a sudden, hey, maybe his specialty is defense. put him in charge of the defense, and look what happened. So, yeah.
Wasn't Raheem Morris a defensive back? Or a defensive?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so, right?
And they had him, yeah, Quinn had him coaching the wide receivers at the beginning of the year. So,
this sounds like poor management more than anything right there.
The way they've been playing the past couple of weeks, Raheem Morris may get another shot at an 8C. So.
Well,
good for him.
If you're a defensive coach and turnovers are your thing, there's a good chance Atlanta gets a couple of those this week. Jameis is coming to town. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Winston, I really like Jameis Winston too, but he figures out new ways every week to turn the ball over. He's had some bad luck. Like that O.J. Howard play is like one of the more ridiculous things I've ever seen. Did you see it? He's had to like hold it behind his back. Like, what are you doing, man?
The only ones interested in this game are guys that play fantasy. Be a high scoring, a lot of fantasy points, but otherwise, two non-factors.
It will be a high scoring game. Agreed, John. Agreed. Putting me in my place there. So, what else did we have? We had the Bears at the Rams in a Sunday night showdown.
Ravens, yeah.
Well, the Bears played the Rams last week.
Oh, all right. Going back to last week.
Monday
sure.
night, right? Is Monday night game?
Yeah.
Ravens?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm doing a looking forward, looking back.
That's all right. I keep you on your toes. But so first, let's talk about kind of this game sort of went the way you would expect it to go, which was think of it this way, right? When you're watching, and I don't know if this was the kind of defensive struggle you like, John, where it was more like bad offense. So you think about movies, right? You think about like a good action movie, like The Fast and the Furious, right? So that's kind of, like Cardinals 49ers, action movie, 36-26, a lot of stuff going on. You leave the theater. It was an enjoyable time. You enjoyed yourself. This is more like... you ever see Alexander? Sorry, Colin Farrell. It's about 4 hours long. Farrell fan, and I had trouble with it. Just not a whole lot going on. A little driving Miss Daisy, maybe. Just not much going on. That's kind of the way this game was. Just it's like I turned it on. I watched the game. Not a whole lot happened. Just not a whole
even
lot.
Even I have to admit, I like a defensive game, but there was and not only that, there was never I never thought that the Rams were in trouble. I never had the feeling that the Bears were going to win.
No, well, you kind of didn't. You had the feeling like the Bears like pretty much couldn't score a touchdown.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And to be honest, I have a confession to make. I might have dozed during second or third quarter.
I made it through the whole game, John.
I revived for the fourth quarter, but yeah, and I didn't miss much.
I took up the mantle for us, but your big takeaways from this game, Todd Gurley, they finally actually gave him a full workload, and he looked good. And the Rams changed their style up and went with a power running game instead of the spread, you know, spread them out sort of deal that they usually do. And it served them well in this game, and they got the win. Goff only threw 18 passes. That tells you all you need to know. On the other side of the ball, Trubisky was awful again. And you feel they pulled him at the end of the game. They said it was a hip pointer, but it looked like they pulled him. I mean, Nagy was giving him a big hug and whispering in his ear, and Trubisky was like almost crying. Like, I mean, seems like a good kid. It's just like the light's not coming on for him. So it's tough. It's tough. It's tough to swallow that pill of you traded up in a draft with Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and you took this kid. So it's tough, but that's the situation they're in. If it's ever gonna happen, and I'm not saying this to be a jerk.
Let me say it for you. If he can't get it right this week, it's never going to happen.
Right. If it's ever going to happen for him, if there was ever a get right matchup.
I'm sure they could sit a bench on him, but they said, hey, let's get one more shot versus one of the worst defenses in the league. And if you can't do it now, then forget it.
Right. So they're playing the Giants in Chicago. The Bears are, again, similar to the Falcons and Bucks game. Both of these teams are essentially done. But that is something to watch there, is can Trubisky get it right? Because sometimes with these kids, it's like they just need confidence and something clicks, and then they're good. And it just has never clicked for him. Because he's got like natural talent, right? I mean, he's mobile. He's got a big arm. Doesn't know where it's going and doesn't make good decisions. And he only started for 1 year, right, at North Carolina, and they like weren't very good. That's always one of those bad signs. And I'm not saying anything about the Giants guy by saying that.
Dude, that powerhouse, that basketball.
But that's like, no, really, but that's why Danny Dimes was one of the reasons he was so universally panned is, well, if you're good, why is your college team only winning two or three games? You know what I mean? Like, even like, you think of guys who came from small schools, they were really, at least their teams were powerhouses. Like, remember Steve McNair at Alcorn State or Wentz in North Dakota State. Like, I mean, they went undefeated and stuff. Like, it's very rarely have you had a quarterback come from like a shit team and end up being really good. You know what I mean? But we'll see what happens.
But moving on with the Rams and the Ravens.
Good game.
I like Wade Phillips to come up with something to slow down Lamar. I'm rolling with the Rams. I like how their linebacker plays Corey Littleton, and I think Wade Phillips, he's going to have him like a spy in Jackson. And I think the Ravens are due to they've been playing so great, and they're due to just play an average game. I think the Rams are going to step up because they're kind of desperate. They really can't afford to lose too many more games, and they're going to step up and get this one Monday.
I was in that camp until Wednesday or Thursday that I thought about
it. What happened?
I just, you know, I've been analyzing
Lamar's
things.
Lamar's rolling too good,
you know, there's so much parity in the NFL that a lot of the teams are very close. But every year, there's a team or two that separates themselves. And you got to kind of figure out who that's going to be. And sometimes you don't see it while it's happening. But I think that the Ravens are one of those teams this year. Like, I'll be honest with you, if you put a gun to my head right now and asked me to pick a Super Bowl champion, I would pick them. I think it's all clicking. I think Jackson's an amazing talent, but the way that they've shaped that offense around him is real. I mean, he's not the first guy to have the skill set that he has. But the way that they've shaped the offense around him and his ability to not take big hits and I mean, I think their offense is unstoppable. I think you'll see that even on again. The Rams' defense has been playing good. I think they're going to barely slow them down. I think the league hasn't caught up yet, and this offense is pretty much unstoppable right now. Their defense was their big Achilles heel, but we talked about them earlier jokingly. But ever since they brought in Marcus Peters, he's been like the second coming of Deion Sanders. They have Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith back. That's shorn up their defensive backfield. They've always been good against the run. And I just think they're the best team in the NFL.
I think
the Rams have not been good offensively. Goff has taken steps back, and I think he throws multiple interceptions in this game. And I think the Ravens are going to come out and stomp them.
I'm worried about. I'm worried about Marcus Peters knowing how to pick one off. I'm sure he's picked one off for Goff in practice many times.
Oh, no, that it's a revenge game too. That's the other piece of it, but. It's just I think you got to put a stake in the ground sometime and say what we've seen is real, and I think with them I think it's real. I think Lamar's the MVP. I think they're probably. I think if no one gets hurt, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, well the Ravens, I don't think they're going to go 14-2 because they got after this they got 49ers at Buffalo. The Jets look like they're going to put up a competitive game at Cleveland and Pittsburgh, which they should win easily. But
it might be good for them to lose one before the playoffs, you know.
Yeah, and this could be it. Might be here. It might be here. Yeah.
Yeah, Rams, I mean, it may be desperate. What the Rams' path to victory is? You got to keep Baltimore off the field, right? So they have to. It's got to be the Gurley and the short passing game, and try to shorten the game up and try to win it. 20-17 or something like that. Cooks is back.
Back, yes.
Which helps them. Again, similar to how Will Fuller helps the Texans. The Rams offense has severely missed the any threat of the deep ball. But Goff is just not he's just not playing good. I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap. But I think some of his troubles you can point to McVay. Even more than him, McVay's stubbornness to just stick with this is what we do, and this is what we do. And he came off that a little bit last week with the power running thing. But the league, I think the league started to catch up to it last year, and with Gurley not being what he was as this all world talent because of the knees, the league is caught up to the McVay offense, and he needs to pivot like all the great coaches do, and he seems almost unwilling to do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Goff has to be a little more flexible. That you saw in that Steeler game, though, when they took Cooper Kupp out the game, that just destroyed his whole world, and he wasn't able to flexible and rely on other targets or move the ball in other ways.
Right, right, and I mean, and they really didn't move the ball that well against the Bears, especially through the air. I mean, they didn't do much through the air. They did have a long touchdown called back to Josh Reynolds, but yeah, I know it's in Los Angeles. They don't have a great home field advantage there anyway. And prime time, Monday Night Football. I think this is where the rocket ship really, where the jet pack really gets strapped on Lamar. And
all right, good. I'm glad.
Face of the league this year.
Me and you are on different sides on a couple of these. That's good. Okay, so let's wrap it up with Packers and 49ers.
Another great game. The Niners have shown... kind of all season, they're winning close. And there's teams like that every year, too, like the Bears were like that last year. I mean, you make the argument they should have lost the game to the Cardinals last week. The Cardinals had them and ended up, the 10-point score is extremely misleading. With that said, the game's in San Francisco, right? So that's advantage Niners. Green Bay coming off a bye. That's advantage Packers. I feel like these teams are a little similar, as weird as that sounds, in that they kind of the way they play, and they both have good defenses. So I get what I'm getting at is what it comes down to is I think Rodgers versus Garoppolo, even in San Francisco, I don't think is enough for the 49ers to overcome, and I like Green Bay to outscore them. in this game, and for Green Bay's defense to pretty much be able to shut the Niners down. So something like a 24-17 sort of victory for the Packers coming off the bye, healthy.
That's where I'm going too. But I do, if there is a path to victory for the Niners, Green Bay's defense has been a little soft against the run. So maybe if the Niners can get the running game going, and also the Kittle looks like he might play.
Kittle is supposed Kittle, Sanders, and Debo are all going to play.
Samuel, yeah.
Most likely are all going to play. And I mean, that really helps Jimmy G.
But yeah, the 49ers have looked a little vulnerable. Even like versus the Cardinals, Saleh's defense has shown some holes. If they don't get that pass rush, they could be thrown on. So,
yeah, and Kyler played really well. I don't want to sell what he did short. I thought he played a great game.
But I'm rolling with the Packers too. So we disagree on a couple, but this one we agree on.
Yeah, and it could go either way. I think. I mean, all the night games this week are fantastic. So you had the Colts, Texans, Packers, 49ers, and Ravens, Rams. And then in the middle, there's really, I guess Cowboys, Pats is a good game, and Seattle, and the Eagles.
4 o'clock.
And beyond that, I mean, 1 o'clock is a desolate wasteland outside of Seattle, Philadelphia.
So. Hey, listen, I got another upset for you. Jets over Raiders.
Whoa! Really?
Yeah. Even though maybe the Raiders got a good scare that Cincy hung tough in that game, but
I disagree with that one. I think the Jets this to me feels like one of those games where the Jets like lose because I think they just took advantage of a dumpster fire in Washington, and it's going to lull everybody into thinking they fixed some of the things that were broken, and I don't think they're fixed. That's just me.
Something about that West Coast team going into the 1 o'clock game. Yeah.
That's true. I'm all in. I'm on the silver and black train, John. As we've talked about, I've always believed in that team.
So you think Johnny's boys will avoid the?
It's a trap game. I mean, it's such a classic trap game that I don't think it's a trap. But that doesn't mean the Jets can't win. But I don't think the Raiders will be overlooking them or anything.
Okay, well, there's another one we disagree on, so it should be fun. Absolutely. We'll see who gets the bragging rights.
All right, John, I know you gotta run. So, you have anything you'd like to tell us about before you take off, and then I'll run everybody through what we have going on here at Place to Be Nation.
Okay, there's a new pod about the Disney Network. They wanted the old man's perspective from the 70s and 80s. Disney classics that were on me, Andy, Miss Miranda, and Jason Sherman. We discussed our experience logging onto the new network and what was the first thing we watched and stuff like that, different genres of Disney films. So we had fun with that. That's up. So check it out.
Nice. All right, John.
Okay.
Well, enjoy football this weekend. I'm sure we'll be talking, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. And I am the. Our listeners can't wait either.
No bye weeks. Peace out, my dude.
All right.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaySpedition.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.